I'm so excited for this series. I mean, last week we talked about priorities, right? And we're going to take some time this morning to open up the scriptures and let them teach us something new. And I'm convinced that our great opportunity for spiritual growth does not happen when we're by ourselves. When we're by ourselves, it's hard to grow. So you've heard of the proverb, iron sharpens iron, right? So one man or one woman sharpens another, right? And when we're in relationship with one another, when we're together, when we're doing Bible studies together, when we're doing Sunday school together, when we're discussing the word, sitting down with our husbands or our wives, our significant other, when we're together and we're discussing the word together, that's when we grow. Because then we can ask questions, right? How can we ask questions of ourselves, right? How can we answer truthfully, right? When we have another one, they can answer with truth, amen? That's how we grow a connection with God that is better. And last week, like I said, we began this series called Better, and we are convinced that living a life with Jesus is the best way to live, the best way. And when we submit to him, our lives are better, amen? Last week, we looked at the impact that God can have in our lives when we begin the new year with better priorities. And when we put God first, the rest of our lives will fall into order. Amen? If we get this backwards, the most important things in our lives, guess what happens? They suffer. Today, we're going to discover that the people that we surround ourselves with have far-reaching effects. Sometimes it's important for us to focus on having better relationships and surrounding ourselves with others who want to be better. Has anybody ever read Dale Carnegie's book on how to win friends and influence people? Anybody? That's a good book. If you ever want to read something good, I like reading things that help me grow, Bible being one of them, but I also like reading other people's stuff. We're given some of the most basic and effective advice here for developing meaningful relationships. He says, first, that becoming genuinely interested in other people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Let me say that again. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, some of you have probably heard that before. It's gone around different places, businesses, churches, things like that. Number two, smile. You know what happens when you smile? Smile, right? If you want to draw others to you, light up your face with a big smile. A lot of times, I like to watch people. I'm a people watcher. I like to see how they react, respond to different things. You know, in the malls, just sit there and just watch. Sometimes you see people like this. Don't lift their head up. What does that tell you? They don't want to be bothered, do they? They don't want to be stopped. They don't want to have anything to do with anybody. They just want to get through, get out, and they're done. Right? Beautiful smile there. you know, smiling is good, and laughing sometimes is really good too. It just, it does something for a person, you know. The other thing, which I'm getting worse and worse at as I get older, number three here, remember names. And I'll admit that. I don't know if anybody else has problems with that, but sometimes I forget people's names that have to be reminded. And I think it's just, as I get older, that's what happens. But a person's name is the sweetest and most important sound to that person. I mean, we've seen that many times in the Bible with Samuel, right? The Lord calling out Samuel. Here I am. Or Moses did the same thing. Moses, here I am. Right? You hear your name, I'm right here. Number four, be a good listener. Be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. When you come up to someone, you first meet someone, what do you do? Do you talk about yourself, or do you ask them who they are, what their name is? How long have you lived here? They haven't lived here, or where did you come from, right? What do you do for a living? I mean, there's many questions, and it leads into other things. It leads into a conversation. So, and you want to talk in terms of the other person's interests, okay? Treat others the way they want to be treated. Of these five relational instructions, which one is most helpful in your experience? Ask yourself that. Which one is most helpful in your experience? To me, they're all great. Do I do them all good? No. But I think they're all really good instructions. What I would like for you to do right now is I'm going to have you practice it. Turn and share it with someone next to you. And you don't have someone next to you, move to where you have someone next to you. Just go ahead. Let me list those off again. Okay? Become genuinely interested in other people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Smile if you want to draw others to you. Light up your face with a smile. Remember names. So you don't know a person's name here, ask them their name, right? Be a good listener. Listen. Encourage them to talk about themselves. And then talk in terms of the other person's interests, okay? Treat others the way they want to be treated. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's take a couple minutes and go ahead and do that. Come on. You guys, we gave you greeting time and everything like that. And I know everybody was up talking. I know you can talk. Let's do it. Okay, let's go ahead and come on back. I don't want to take too long, because if I take too long, then it'll be 1 o'clock. So we don't want to do that. So how did everybody do? You guys do all right? You guys listen to the other person? Practice your listening skills? The truth is that you and I were created for relationships. We were designed to live our best lives when we do it in the context of community. The problem is that we don't always choose the right people to surround ourselves with. Often we can do better. The Bible gives us some practical wisdom for living in healthy community with one another. Let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs 12:26 in your Bibles. Proverbs 12:26. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully." The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The people who live righteous lives are people who choose their friends carefully. This means that rather than leaving our closest relationships to chance, we make a concerted effort to surround ourselves with people who are carefully chosen. The righteous know the kind of person they want to be and choose to surround themselves with people who help them achieve those goals. The righteous look for people who make them better versions of themselves. The righteous seek out people who love God with their whole hearts and live it out each day. Some people don't have our best interest in mind. And some people don't live based upon a desire to please God. Some people don't make us better, rather, some can make us bitter. The differences between positive relationships and negative ones can be compared to the difference between graffiti and an art gallery. An art gallery is, graffiti is haphazard. It's messy. It's unpredictable. An art gallery is different. Graffiti is chaotic, but an art gallery is curated. It's strategic. It's thought through. The art behind building relationships can be seen in the same way. If we leave our closest connections to accidental encounters, we may find ourselves being led to places that we never wanted to go and becoming people that we never intended to be. You know, I know many of you have had your experiences growing up, and I can remember mine. I'm just going to share with you a little bit about mine. So back in high school, I pretty much got along with everybody. There was not one group that I could not get along with in school. And you know, you guys all had different groups in your schools, right? You had the jocks, right? Right? Then you had the, I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but you had the geeks, right? You had those, in my school, you had those people that were doing drugs and smoking and all that stuff, right? Then we had, in my school, we had a group called the Lowriders. And then you had, let's see, did I get them all? That was about it. It's what pretty much what we had. You know, and I was one that I could go into any one of those groups. Now, did I like all those different groups? No, because some of them led me astray. Some of them led me astray. Those people who smoked and did drugs, they led me astray into doing things that wasn't good for me. Even there was, I forgot another group, the Christians, or I'll just say, yeah, it was a group, but I was really offended by them, tell you the truth. And I had the worst opinion of them for the longest time, because guess what? They never invited me to their group. Never. Not one word was said. You guys all heard of Young Life, right? We had that in our school. I was never invited to that. Never. That's sad. when there are other Christians out there and they're not inviting people that need Jesus. And boy, did I need Jesus. I didn't come to know the Lord till I was like 35 years old. It's a long time, a lot of straying. So yes, people influence you. The people you hang out with influence you. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus, we see the way to develop better relationships. Jesus certainly spent time with a lot of people, didn't he? He spent time with a lot of people, a lot of different kinds of people, a lot of different groups. we'll call them the crowd, okay? Though he did spend time there, they were not his focus. Okay, instead, we have a group of 12 disciples that he did most of his life with. Even inside of those 12, he had three even closer relationships in Peter, James, and John, where he really invested his time and energy. Now, Jesus did not leave his friendships to chance. He chose them wisely. And we should do the same. But the only way that we can avoid relationships by chance and develop friendships by choice is by looking for characteristics in others that look like Jesus and encourage us toward him. The Apostle Paul writes about this in his letter to the early church in Corinth. The reason Paul puts this into his letter is because the struggle to surround ourselves with the right people is not new to us. It has been going on for a very long time. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul writes, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Now, Paul is outlining what true relationships built on the love of God look like in our lives. And as I read through these simple yet profound characteristics, I can't help but think to myself that those are the kinds of relationships that I want in my life. I want to connect with people who are patient, who are kind. I want to trust people who are not self-seeking or proud. I want to have friendships that always protect one another and persevere through difficult times. Being aware of the people that are in our sphere of influence and noticing when someone demonstrates these attributes that Paul says just may be the best way to develop better relationships in this new year. Now, a good friend with these characteristics makes us feel safe. You ever had a friend like that? Makes you feel safe. Feel loved. And supported. You know, I'm going to tell you about pastor that I went down to the CEUs with, Pastor Marshall Mayfield, who pastors First Church of the Nazarene in Fairbanks. He drove. We went down. Boy, going down was, it was great until we got to Talkeetna. Talkeetna, it was snowing like crazy. And you know how it gets when it's coming down You can't see the road. You can't see the edges of the road. You can't, you know, if you turn your brights on, it's even worse. So you really can't see. And we're traveling, and the next thing I notice, I'm sitting there, and he goes, I can't see the side of the road. Do you know where we're at? I said, yeah, you're all the way over on the left-hand side of the road, which is not good. He goes, oh. He goes, tell me what I get. I said, yeah, come on over. And then the next thing I know, here comes a car, you know, and then the next minute, we're back over in the, but I was fine. Everything was good. You know, it was at night. There wasn't a whole lot of traffic. I felt safe. You know, I know some people will probably be scared about that, but I knew, we already prayed before we left, that the Lord was going to keep us safe. I don't know how many of you pray for your trips, but I do. I pray all the time for a trip. I want to make sure that the Lord's hand is on the vehicle. There's been times when people have said, I don't know how I missed that accident. I do. The Lord helped you through it. That's how. I saw vehicles all the way down there, up on their roof, off the road. And I was like, wow. But yeah, try it sometime. Pray before you leave. But you know, those some of the greatest friendships that I've had in my life have been because that they fit this passage so well. Many of them were born out of adversity and struggle. I want to tell you a story about Jackie Robinson. You guys all know who Jackie Robinson was? He was the first black athlete to play Major League Baseball. There's a movie out about him. I think it's called 42. See, I told you I can't remember names. But breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium that he competed in. I can't imagine how that felt. You know, while playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, New York, he committed an error on the field. The fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans heckled him. It was at the height of the tension when he felt most alone that suddenly shortstop Pee Wee Reese, you ever hear that name? Pee Wee Reese, famous shortstop, came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. The fans grew silent. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. Now, if you don't know, Pee-wee Reese is white, okay? And I believe he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers at that time, if I remember right. Put his arm around him after being humiliated. Have you ever been in a spot like that where you've been humiliated and someone come up beside you and just put their arm around you? You know how that feels? Like somebody cares. Amen? Some of us this morning need to have someone like Pee Wee Reese in our life. Someone who is willing to come and stand right next to us when no one else will. Someone who will face down the jeering crowds so we don't have to do it alone. Do you have someone who embodies the patience, the kindness, humility, love, truth, and joy that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians? If not, begin this new year by doing everything in your power to find folks who do. That way, when life throws you the difficult circumstances that often come, like losing a job, marriage struggles, addiction, or sinful temptation, you don't have to go it alone. Man, I've told you so many times about my friend before I was a Christian, before I asked Jesus in my heart. This guy came up alongside me, along with the pastor, came up alongside me and walked with me all the way through my divorce, through my child custody cases. Man, who does that? That's not easy. And then show me, not only that, show me how to live as a Christian husband to his wife. How do you do that? I mean, that was huge for me in that time of my life. Was it easy? No, I had it out with him one time. Had it out with him one time because he made fun of me. I forget what happened, but he did something. Made me mad, and I didn't talk to him for a while. Until I went up to him, it was a misunderstanding, I guess. So we forgave each other and kept on. Friendship kept going. But man, things don't just happen out of thin air without conversation, without creating that relationship. Amen? As important as it is for us to be on the lookout for godly friendships, there's also a very important aspect to better relationships that often gets overlooked. The truth is that in order for us to have better relationships, we must also be people that might want to develop find someone that to develop a relationship with. We must live with a sober self-assessment and be able to answer honestly if we are the kind of people that God wants us to be. Are you the person that God wants you to be? Are you loving? Are you filled with joy? Remember those different characteristics that I just read out of 1 Corinthians? If you were to be honest, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? Are you trustworthy? Are you kind? Are you forgiving? Do you have others' best interests in mind? Paul writes about this need for others' focused life in the book of Romans. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. What Paul is doing here is giving instruction for individuals to live in meaningful relationships with one another. Rather than just expect that everyone else would cater to my needs and desires, I make a conscious effort to be devoted to others in love. Now, this word for love that Paul uses is the word Philadelphia, or philos in the Greek. Okay? Sounds familiar, right? What's that city known as? Right. The city of brotherly love. Paul's inviting us to love others as brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a deep connection that's made as a part of God's family. Then he says, we ought to honor one another above ourselves. This is the crux of this passage. Without putting other people first and honoring them by the way that we treat them, there's no hope of building better relationships that are not somehow one-sided. There was a bit of practical wisdom offered by an article in the 1993 issue of Daily Walk. Though the writing is a bit dated, I think you would agree its advice is not. It was titled, How to Be Miserable. It says, think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown them. Never forget a service you have rendered. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. Or take the opposite route and be a person focused on others more than yourself. Be the type of friend that you want to have. Once again, Jesus is our greatest example for building better relationships. He was the standard for living a life of humility and service. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he demonstrated how to love others well. So in this new year, make a commitment to surround yourself with people who push you toward Jesus. Man, I'll tell you what, I had the best, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to go off a little bit here, but he's a great friend. Marshall is a great friend. We're driving back. On the way back, we were, I'm not kidding you. We're talking about entire sanctification, okay? And we're driving back, and I am, he's giving me an illustration and stuff like that. And I said, Marshall, I said, because he was talking about adults. I said, there's actually illustrations for kids. He was like, there is? And I started talking to him and stuff on how, you know, the different illustrations that I had. And he was like, wow, that is great. We started developing in that car drive like 4 or 5 different sermons on the way back. And I was like, it was amazing. And how, you see what I mean? When you have another person to bounce things off, iron sharpens iron. It is wonderful. You open the word, you open it up, you discuss. Because I'll tell you, you know, God, you're not the only one that God uses. There are other people that God uses that can give you information. And there's times when God will speak through another person or even a donkey. Remember that story in the Bible? He did speak through a donkey. And uses that person for good. It's, you know, it's awesome. It's to hear something from another person, and you know it's God, that it came from God. It's amazing. Just pay close attention to the kinds of fruit that your closest friends demonstrate. Pay even closer attention to your own fruit to make sure you're the kind of person who would encourage, who would support people who enter a relationship with you. It's always wise to take a step back this time of year and to evaluate what's going on. Take a step back and evaluate. Perhaps better relationships are exactly what you need. Let's go ahead and pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, Lord, thanking you for the time that we spent delving into your word today as we close this gathering. We seek your guidance and your grace in our relationships. Lord, help us to be intentional in choosing the right companions on our life's journey. May we be like the righteous, carefully selecting those who uplift and encourage us in our walk with you. Grant us the wisdom to avoid relationships left to chance, recognizing that our closest connections shape our paths. We lift up our desire for godly attributes in our friendships, just as the Apostle Paul outlined. May we find friends who embody patience, kindness, humility, love, truth, and joy. Let us be surrounded by those who stand by us in times of difficulty, just as Pee-wee Reese stood with Jackie Robinson. Lord, as we look within ourselves, help us to be the kind of friends that others would want in their lives. Guide us to live with a selfless love, honoring one another above ourselves. May our relationships reflect the deep connection of your family, where love is shared as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are reminded of the practical wisdom to focus on others more than ourselves. In this new year, may we be givers, not just receivers. Help us to follow the example of Jesus, our ultimate model for humility and service. Lord, we commit ourselves to surround and be surrounded by people who lead us closer to you. May the fruit of our relationships be a testimony to your love and grace. As we step into this new season, let our relationships be transformed for the better. And we offer this prayer in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless each and every one of you. You guys have a fantastic week. Go out and surround yourselves with some good friends, good people. Amen.